Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Aunt Rita's Foundation is an organization whose mission is so clear. With everything they do, they're dedicated to the elimination of and suffering from HIV and AIDS. And they're an organization who's seen tremendous change over the years since their inception, which was 1988. And here to tell us more is Aunt Rita's Executive Director, Stacey J. Cavalieri. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to represent Aunt Rita's and to talk about what we do and how we can help the community.
Well, and first of all, congratulations, because I know that you're somewhat new to the role. So I still want to congratulate you, even though it's been like 6 months. How's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, we have an incredibly strong team of staff, board of directors, and over 600 volunteers engaged with us every year through our programs and services. So they're really our lifeline, in addition to all the community support that we get every year.
You feel like you got it under control?
Yeah, you know, the community really is the backbone of everything we do. We were founded in 1988 by community members seeing a need that was not being addressed through federal or state funding or even being talked about much. When the epidemic started, people weren't talking about it. It was dubbed as a gay disease. So there wasn't a lot of services, if any, out there. So some wonderful community members saw the need and just started fundraising. And that's how we got started. And now we give away over $200,000 every year in grants. We have robust programs and services really to continue addressing the needs now that are still in the community.
And I saw that the very first fundraiser was a bake sale. That's fun.
It was, yeah. In 1988, at a very small local bar here in Phoenix, three outstanding community members, like I mentioned, saw the need. Their friends at that time were suffering, passing away from AIDS. And, there just was no support out there. There wasn't community-based organizations really prevalent back then. Like I mentioned, federal and state funding was non-existent. People weren't talking about it. So they took it upon themselves to do some bake sale fundraisers at a local gay bar and provided, just funds for medication, hospital bills, housing. And, that still translates to this day. There are still many needs that people living with HIV experience. And so we just continue to stand on the shoulders of those giants and those heroes that came before us to really push our mission forward.
Well, who is Aunt Rita?
Yeah, so there are a few different stories about how Aunt Rita started. But back in 1988, at that bar that I mentioned, there was a drag queen who really kind of helped spearhead a lot of the fundraising with the other three founders of Aunt Rita's back in that time. And Aunt Rita was a drag, Grandma Rita was a drag queen there. And so they kind of just dovetailed off of that and made Aunt Rita kind of her little sister, if you will, her. Mm-hmm. She just became the face, if you will. There's been many iterations, many different versions of Aunt Rita's through the years. Aunt Rita just represents the community and everything that the community does to help end the epidemic way back.
Well, I love that you say, like, well, there's a few different theories. She's like an old wives' tale.
Yeah, it is. And I really think that is one of the fascinating parts about Aunt Rita's Foundation is that, you know, we do have such a strong, rich legacy. And so many people have been involved since the beginning. You know, we became an official 501c3 nonprofit in 2005. And, you know, that's really when that federal and state funding kind of started to emerge. We decided to start ourselves as an official nonprofit then to really do the work that needed to be done. But back then, you know, it was just community fundraisers, word of mouth, and it just grew from there.
Mm-hmm. What changes have you seen over that time, just in the need for whether it's materials or medications or even a bake sale would never cut it in 2023. Right. Hello, inflation. So what changes have you seen in that time period?
That's relating to the epidemic. You know, it has changed and shifted so much and continues to do so with the amazing and fantastic advances in medicine. You know, we have seen a shift in, you know, people being able to get treated more quickly. Prevention measures, you know, have really accelerated, you know, in the past 25 years, 35 years. But the fact of the matter is that HIV infection rates are still on the rise in certain communities, and there are folks every day that are still becoming infected. So the need is still there. The epidemic has not ended, and that is our ultimate goal, plain and simple, like you mentioned at the top of this conversation. You know, as medication advances, our outreach strategies need to kind of be shifted as different populations, infection rates, you know, decrease or increase. You know, we need to address those communities. There's still a tremendous amount of stigma out there surrounding HIV and AIDS. People still think of it as a gay disease. HIV affects everyone. And I'll say that again, HIV affects everyone. And, you know, here in Arizona, certain populations, you know, are still disproportionately affected by HIV, particularly men who have sex with men, the gay population, but also the communities of color. And a lot of that stigma, you know, is surrounding those certain communities. And so it's our job as, you know, educators and as advocates to really get out there, have conversations like this, to reach as many people as possible, because once again, HIV affects everyone.
Right. And knowing that it does affect everyone, how can we as a community help you to remove that stigma? To, you know, it's so old school thinking, but, you know, what can we do as individuals to help get rid of that stigma?
Yeah, I think there are a few ways. Having the conversation, I think, is the most important thing. We talk about cancer, we talk about COVID, we talk about, you know, all these other health measures so easily. But HIV still has so much stigma around it, for whatever reason that might be, whether it's, you know, lack of education or assumptions, you know, that we might make, how the media twists things oftentimes, some religious or spiritual beliefs, you know, might kind of come into play with that. So just continuing to have the conversation, to encourage your friends to get tested, know your status, to promote, you know, things like Aunt Rita's has, like our HIV AZ Connect resource website, attending events, you know, like the AIDS Walk that we host every year in the spring, attending our annual gala to really just understand what the scope of HIV is now in our community. And, you know, just continuing to have that conversation. Education is key. So, yeah.
What are some of those stats? Like in Arizona, how are we looking?
Yeah. So according to the Arizona Department of Health Services last annual report, which was published in 2022, but reflective of 2021 numbers, there was over 32,000 new infections in the United States, nearly of which over 800 were in Arizona. So over 800 people in 2021 became infected with HIV. Currently, There are over 18,000 people still living with HIV in Arizona, but those numbers do not reflect the people who are not getting tested, right? So that's really who we have to reach out to, you know, these different communities who aren't accessing testing services, who, you know, maybe don't know where to go or even why it's important to get tested. So, just that continued education, that continued conversation around, you know, knowing your status is important. You know, I won't compare the HIV epidemic to cancer, but, you know, going for like your annual screenings, your annual physicals, HIV testing should be a part of that, because it's just another health related situation that, you know, that we all need to look out for if we're sexually active.
And that's a big program of yours. How do you support HIV testing here, and how do you get the word out?
Yeah, so we will go to any festival, any fair, any health clinic, you know, that will invite us. We have a very, very strong presence, and we also partner with over a dozen partner agencies too. We fund currently 14 partner agencies to do the great work that they do on the ground in their community-based organizations, in their healthcare clinics. So we support their outreach efforts while also doing a bit of our own. We're, you know, at most every single kind of community health fair event, LGBTQ events throughout the Valley with our booth, just spreading the word. And one of the easiest ways that folks can connect and learn more are through our HIV-AZ Connect programs. HIVAZ.org is our website that we manage and run. There's a Spanish and an English version of that website. And that basically is a resource, online resource directory. It's the largest online resource directory that is kind of the hub of all things HIV and adjacent in Arizona. And by adjacent, I mean, you know, outreach efforts, HIV testing, and also sexually transmitted infection testing, HIV STI testing, as well as all sorts of other referral and information programs. So there's a lot of statistics on there. There's a lot of resources. All of our partner agencies have resources on there. A lot of local community health clinics, the state health department, local county health department clinics, all of that information is on there. So it's kind of a one-stop shop to learn more about how to get tested, how to get treated, and how to connect to services. And then with that, our own HIV testing initiatives, we have an adjacent website that's gettestedaz.org. And anyone in the state of Arizona can request either an at-home HIV test kit that we mail discreetly directly to their home. And it's just an oral swab that they do. The results come in about 20 minutes. With supporting resources, you know, if one were to test positive from that test, what are the next steps? How does one get into treatment and care? Or if they test negative, what are some additional resources to continue to help protect themselves? So that's a very robust at-home HIV test kit program. But then we also can issue a voucher, and that allows someone to go to a location to actually get tested, you know, with a phlebotomist at over 100 locations throughout Arizona at Albertson Safeway pharmacies or a Sonora Quest lab. So that partnership has been going on for over 5 years. And we either through the at-home test kits or the voucher program, over 150 people get tested every month through just our program. And then through all of our 14 partner agencies, I mean, that's in the thousands. So we're doing the best we can with what we have. But we do know that we do need to reach more people.
Yeah. And speak to the importance of local community partners, because, I mean, you can shout them out if you want to. There's 14 agencies that you really are the fundraising hub for, and to be able to allow these organizations to be the boots on the ground. But speak to the importance of, if we're looking at solutions, if we are looking at an Arizona without HIV, without AIDS, we can't do that alone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our 14 partner agencies, like I mentioned, we give out grants to each of those agencies every year. It's a grant application process that gets funded every year. On average, we give out over $200,000 every year. And all of that money comes from community members and businesses, local businesses that we partner with for the AIDS Walk. AIDS Walk 2024 is going to be on April 6th at Tempe Beach Park. So I'll plug that. Information to come on that. But all of the proceeds from AIDS Walk goes directly to our partner agency grant program.
Okay. So
if someone walks in the AIDS Walk and raises money for that, you're not only supporting Aunt Rita's, but you're supporting 14 other agencies. So the impact is very, very broad, very wide reaching. Some of our partner agencies include the Bill Holt Clinic at Phoenix Children's Hospital. They support pediatric HIV. Ebony House, Chicanos Por La Causa, CAN Community Health Centers, 1 in 10 Youth Services, Taros, Southwest Center for HIV AIDS, and the list goes on and on. These partner agencies really are the ones that every day see people in their clinics, see people in their community-based organizations, getting them on treatment, getting them access to food, support, case management, housing if they need it, youth services. So our partner agencies are very, very diverse. We're all doing similar but different work, but with the same goal, to end the HIV epidemic in Arizona.
Yeah. And you mentioned your AIDS Walk. So I want to chat about events, because you do have one coming up this month. It's kind of happening September 30th. And that's the Red is the Night Gala. What can we expect with that?
Yeah. So Red is the Night is our signature gala event every year. But it's not just a party. It's really, once again, you know, to really engage the community of supporters who have been with us, you know, for years and years, but also to bring new people in, to really educate, to really engage, and to help our guests understand that, you know, that it's all of our jobs. You know, it's not just our partner agencies, it's not just our job, but really, you know, the community really can do wonders to support ending the HIV epidemic. And at this event, we have, you know, some exciting entertainment, some local performers. Our theme this year for Red is the Night is a spectacular evening at the Moulin Rouge.
So
it's themed. So we have some local cabaret performers, some live singers, some drag performers. It is going to be a very high energy, fun night, but really driving home the mission to end the epidemic. And, you know, through ticket sales, through, you know, our live auction items that we have, we have an exciting raffle for a trip. You know, all of those proceeds go directly to the work that we do to provide testing. We also have another program that supports older adults living with HIV and AIDS. There was a study done a few years ago by the Center of Disease Control that identified the aging adult population living with HIV oftentimes experiences a lot of social isolation and lack of community. So we bring them together on a monthly basis to provide that space for connection, for community. And we have over 35 to 40 individuals every month who participate in that. So, you know, all the money from Red is the Night goes towards those programs. We're also looking to bring back our youth empowerment retreat. We have done that twice over the past 10 years, but we do want to make that an annual event, because young people living with HIV, you know, there's often stigma, a lot of stigma attached to that. Just think about being a teenager in general, how difficult to navigate those spaces are, but you know, living with HIV, you know, it's just compounded. So we provide a weekend long retreat for young people ages 14 through 24. We come together, we have fun activities, some, you know, outdoor recreation activities, some guest speakers, art projects, all sorts of stuff. So once again, all the proceeds for Resident Night, whether you buy a ticket or a raffle ticket, or a table to the event, all of those funds go directly towards our direct service programs.
And I have to give you props on the venue selection, because I got married at Warehouse 215 like
Fantastic.
7-8 years ago. So I love it. It's such a beautiful venue.
Yeah. So on September 30th, we will be at Warehouse 215, just south of the ballpark in downtown Phoenix. The event starts at 6 p.m. And we're looking to have upwards of 400 guests there. So it's going to be a really fun event. We have a great after party in celebration of, you know, everything that we did during the event. And I'm pleased to announce that our two honorary co-chairs for the event are two wonderful state representatives, Patricia Contreras and Oscar De Los Santos. So they will be giving some remarks and really just being there as kind of our figureheads to really support what we're doing here in Arizona.
Awesome. And where should we buy tickets? Is just on the Aunt Rita's website?
Yeah. So tickets are now on sale. We have some left still, so get them quickly. So you can join us September 30th. Tickets are available at redisthenight.org.
Perfect. All right. Well, what is the Experience Escapades? Is that the older individuals program?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Our Experience Escapades group is that older adult group.
I love that.
Yeah. In addition to the monthly social activities that we do with them, you know, we take them to the movies, to the theater. We're going to Wonder Spaces art exhibit this week with them. It's just a group just to convene them, do something fun. But really what they truly love about that program is just getting together and just having conversations. A lot of them hang out outside of our group, you know, some of them now are roommates. Our last group that we did last month, we had a gentleman who engaged with the group for the very first time. He was, I think, 83 years old. He said he hadn't left the house in over a month and a half. The only person that he engaged with was his case manager. He's 100% legally blind, has been living with HIV for over 40 years. And he took a risk, and attended our group. And the participants welcomed him with open arms. He was exchanging phone numbers at the end of the night. He thanked us profusely. So, you know, that just really goes to show you that, while the younger generation, you know, that's really who, we do a lot of outreach to, those folks who have been living with HIV for decades now, you know, really do have different and unique needs too. And so we're just thrilled to offer that program. And, you know, by attending Red is the Night or supporting Aunt Rita's, we will be able to grow that program to serve even more individuals.
Awesome. And I always love to hear about community leaders and those that are driving the organization, because you pour your heart and soul into the organization and the causes every single day. So tell me about you and your journey. How did you get to Aunt Rita's?
Yeah, great question. So I was diagnosed HIV positive 21 years ago. And while I knew that there were resources out there, I didn't really know where to start, right? I was in my early 20s, you know, carefree, didn't think
there
was
real.
Right. I didn't think there was a lot of consequences in life, but, soon realized that, you know, that I needed to take control of my health. Mm-hmm. So I was familiar with Aunt Rita's and knew that Aunt Rita's has been that connector of the community for, you know, so many years. So they were my first call. Aunt Rita's directed me to HIV Care Directions, which is a wonderful agency that is one of our partner agencies that we fund. And I was connected with my very first case manager named Glenn Spencer. Fast forward probably 10 years since then, he became one of the executive directors of Aunt Rita's later on in life. He became my friend, my mentor. He has since passed on. But he leaves an incredible legacy, and the other executive directors who have came before us, Kit Kleckel and Jimmy Thomason, you know, really have led this organization to where we are today. And, you know, I'm just thrilled and humbled and grateful to be a part of that legacy, because Glenn, you know, helped me at the very beginning, and it's just a full circle moment at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. See, that's the good stuff. I like hearing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what else can we do to support? Do you have any volunteerism opportunities, or how else can listeners get involved with you?
Yeah, we're always accepting volunteers, AuntRitas.org. There's a volunteer sign-up sheet right there. You can sign up for our newsletters just to stay informed of all the goings on of Aunt Rita's. We'll be announcing details about AIDS Walk pretty soon. But for now, join us at Red is the Night on September 30th at Warehouse 215. You can get your tickets once again at redisthenight.org.
Awesome. Stacey J., thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today. And I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.